This is an Aero News Touch and Go for December 1st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The Space Shuttle Endeavour made a clean landing at Edwards Air Force Base yesterday afternoon at 1:25 p.m. Pacific Time, ending mission STS-126. The landing was moved to California due to a cold front lingering near the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. As ANN reported, the mission began November 14th and prepared the space station to double its maximum crew size to 6 for long-duration missions. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board will be sending a team of investigators to France to assist in the investigation of Thursday's crash of an Airbus A320 into the Mediterranean Sea while on approach to Perpignan. The Air New Zealand plane was near the end of a two-hour maintenance checkout flight when it suddenly plunged into the water. The aircraft was to be returned to the airline after coming off lease to Germany's XL Airways. Of the 7 people on board, 2 bodies had been recovered by Friday when the effort officially transitioned from rescue to recovery. The NTSB team will include technical advisors from the FAA and International Aero Engines. They won't actually be dispatched until the wreckage is located and the recovery begins. A report from the U.S. Transportation Security Administration accuses the Orlando Police Department and Delta Airlines of failing to follow proper procedures in an infamous gun and drug smuggling case. On March 5, 2007, 2 workers for Comair, a Delta subsidiary, conspired to smuggle a duffel bag containing 14 guns and 8 pounds of marijuana to San Juan, Puerto Rico. The pair used an employee entrance to skirt airport security. Exactly what happened next is in dispute. The TSA says OPD got a tip that an airport worker was on Flight 933 with a weapon, and that police did not immediately notify TSA as required. Orlando Police Captain Jeff O'Dell said the tip was for contraband, not guns, and therefore was not considered a TSA issue. He also disputes the accusation of late notification of the TSA, noting that TSA agents were able to arrive at the gate by the time Zabdiel Santiago Balaguer, a Comair employee, was removed from the plane by police. A Delta gate agent then cleared the plane to leave the gate. Airport and TSA officials didn't realize there was another suspect aboard until the flight was halfway to San Juan. Thomas Anthony Munoz was arrested when the plane landed. Munoz and Balaguer were eventually convicted on weapons and drug charges and are currently serving prison terms. Back in August, someone at Spirit AeroSystems of Wichita, Kansas, noticed the nut plates they were using to assemble 737s for Boeing were missing the required cadmium plating used to prevent corrosion. The problem was narrowed to one of Spirit's 3 suppliers of the plates, but by that time, the company had to call Boeing and fess up that the issue had been going on for a year. Hundreds of planes were affected, including many already delivered to customers. Worse, each plane uses thousands of the fasteners. Now the news has gotten worse yet. Boeing says the same defective parts have been used to assemble 747s, 767s, and 777s. Boeing recently lost 2 months' production to a strike and has suffered embarrassing delays on some of its new products. Still, company spokeswoman Beverly Holland says customers, in this case, are focused not on delays, but on, quote, "What are we doing to assure that this does not happen again? Nobody wants a plane to be delivered with non-conforming parts," unquote. Boeing says there's no immediate safety issue. Holland says the company and the FAA will likely collaborate on guidelines for inspection of the affected planes. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you more about these stories. Ballots in another Boeing strike vote will be counted today. U.S. Airways pulls some guys in turbans off one of its flights again. And NTSB explains that spectacular sideways nose gear A320 landing at LAX. Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller makes a case for more transition training for pilots buying their first high-performance aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.